Hey there, baseball fans. Welcome to Hit It With The Hips, where love meets the long ball.
We're your hosts, Kat and Donald, aka Mr. Hip, a baseball-obsessed couple who love talking ball just as much as we love each other. Most days.
That's right. From home run heroics to dugout drama, we break down the biggest stories, wildest moments, and of course, argue about which fantasy team is actually the best.
Spoiler alert, it's not yours, love.
We'll cover stats, stories, and everything in between, all while keeping it fun, lighthearted, and maybe definitely competitive.
So grab your peanuts and Cracker Jack, because this is Hit It With The Hips, where baseball meets banter.
Hey, the hips.
We start every episode with sharing the best hits seen or watched, from walkout winners to first career run hits. Anything is a smash hit. Start us up, love. What's your best hit?
I think I'm going to go against the grain here and not choose a hit. But my favorite, as I'd say, my favorite hit would be the no-hitter that we experienced when Ricardo took his kids to their first baseball game in August of 2021. I believe Tyler Gilbert was the pitcher of record that game, and that was the Diamondbacks' third no-hitter of all times. So, Kat, how about you?
First off, that was probably the most epic game that we watched together, and we've watched a lot of baseball together. So, love that memory. For me, one of my best hits was at the World Series in October of 2017. It was game two. And at the time, I was watching from the East Coast. So it was very late because it went past nine innings because Astros Marwin Gonzalez tied up the game on the ninth inning. So the game went up to the 11th inning, and unfortunately the Astros won. But I just remember watching that game, and it was so great offensively and defensively. It was one of the best games I've ever watched.
No, that sounds beautiful. And for our listeners, she was not on the East Coast visiting me at the time.
Yes, very true. But that's for a story for another day. But I love that you brought up our experience at the Diamondbacks Stadium, because something that was really important to me when we first started dating was I shared to Donald that I had wanted to attend a game at every MLB stadium, which, funny enough, was a dream for many people. And we actually found our own community. Shout out to Ballpark Chasers, because our family now, we're a family of four, we are on the quest to go to all 30 stadiums and chase all those ballparks. Personally, I am individually at 15. How about you, Lev? How many stadiums have you gone to?
I believe I'm at the 13 or 14 mark, if we're counting minor league teams, probably at the about 20 mark. But I'm starting over my counter just because it only counts if Soto's also joined us at these baseball games. So I am currently at one out of 30. No, three.
Three, love. We went to the Nationals. We went to the Orioles. And did we do the Dodgers with them already?
No, we haven't done the Dodgers. Okay. It was Nationals, Orioles, and the Mets.
That's right. We are
and Toronto. So we're at four. We're at four for the chase. So 26 more to go. That sounds good to me.
As they say in the Ballpark Chasers, your chase, your rules. So yes, we are at back to number four as a family.
Yeah, but since you've been at, visited 15 different stadiums so far, in a couple of stadiums with two children, what are some of your, tips for moms going to stadiums?
Yes. Let me just preface, it is not for the weak. And what you'll learn is that we are a family with two babies, two under two, and we've went to four stadiums with them. And what I've learned and what you'll learn about baseball, it can be very family friendly in the stadium. It's actually one of the reasons why I want to go to every stadium, because it is a family event. Some tips that I've learned before going to a stadium is doing research beforehand. Every stadium has programming for their stadium. There's children-friendly, kid-friendly activities that you can find out what's going to happen during the game you're attending, such as where the mascots are going to be and what inning or what side of the stadium they'll be. So just take note of that. There are also family-friendly activities, designated areas. Like for myself, I've breastfed my children, so I like to know where is the closest rooms that they provide for breastfeeding mothers. Some stadiums have a designated room. A really fun thing that the Met Stadium actually had is they had like almost like a private door enclosed area for breastfeeding, which I thought was nice because it had little decorations and stuff for me to look at while I was breastfeeding my kid. I like making sure I know what I can bring for snacks, what they might want to eat. Our family is plant-based, so I like to know where in the stadium those might be, just in case I want to splurge and have a nice vegan treat. I also like knowing, like, where are the sensory rooms. To some people's misunderstanding, sensory room, although it is recommended for kids that might need, have sensory needs, I also think that any child or maybe even adult who might feel overwhelmed by all the chaos and things going on should retreat to a sensory room that's always kind of quiet, like very, there's not a lot of things going on. And it's a really fun way, especially for young children, to kind of reset and like focus on one thing while being in a, like a peaceful environment. So I recommend looking for that. And I would actually go to the information booth areas and ask them what they recommend for children. I have been lucky and found that they would provide things like coloring pages and stickers, and just a lot of different areas. So my biggest, I guess, all to say is do research beforehand and try to find things.
Yeah, research is really important. I think knowing where those sensory rooms has proven really useful for us, especially with timing and being able to take a break when the children get a little bit antsy. So I think that's great. And knowing that, you know, Pokemon Go has that relationship with the MLB stadiums, it's going to be even more fun and even more ways to keep those little ones occupied. I think for a future episode, we'll definitely explore family-friendly tips for visiting the stadiums. But I do want to move on to our next segment, which is your favorite off-season moves for the 2024-2025 MLB off-season. So, Kathleen, will you please tell our listeners what your favorite moves were this year?
Let me just preface that all of these that I'm going to say are going to directly affect my fantasy baseball team. And the first one during the offseason was watching Max Fried get signed to the Yankees, because with the Yankees losing that World Series against my Dodgers, they really needed some depth in their pitchers. And Max Fried, is, to my opinion, is going to do just that. With that, I will say a very shocking trade to for me anyways was seeing Chris Sale to the Braves, because Chris Sale, as much as he was great when he was a younger player, he's getting in the more veteran side. I felt that he should have just retired with the Boston Red Sox, but him moving to the Braves for 2 years might help them out. Another team that might need a little help in the relief pitcher side are the Chicago Cubs. And I was shocked to see Ryan Pressly get released from the Astros, because he was my most consistent pitcher last season. And him coming to the Cubs signals to me that they're trying to fix their relief pitcher side. So those are all shocking to me. What about you?
Nah, yeah, all of those are really shocking, especially Max Fried at the Yankees. I think the Yankees had depth. They had enough depth to put Nestor Cortez to the bullpen, but I think it was the bullpen where they really lacked that excellence and that Yankee spirit. And had they had a better bullpen, they might be in a better position to win the World Series last year. I think for me, because we named our son Soto, the best move was Juan Soto to the New York Mets. And I think for 15 years, making $765 million, I'm not sure if that includes the signing bonus, but it is the largest deal in professional sports history. And so most people look at other indicators for inflation. I look at baseball contracts. And with Juan Soto making that much money, it's really going to transform how much money other players get. You know, can't forget about Pete Alonso also re-signing with the New York Mets to play first base alongside Juan Soto. I'm hoping Pete bets third after Juan. But Pete Alonso gets to finish his career, or hopefully finish his career, as a lifetime Met. And I think that's a beautiful thing. But you mentioned a lot about pitchers. And one of the moves that caught me off guard from a pitching perspective is that right-hander Max Scherzer going to the Blue Jays. I think he really fills out the Blue Jays starting rotation really well. He'll probably be pitching second or third in that rotation, but I think he really fills it out. And if the bats can stay hot, including Vladdy and that boy Bo Bichette, I think Toronto is really going to be a sleeper, although they're in the AL East, and the AL East is really all the teams are predicted to go 500. So that's going to be really interesting to watch. And I think with the Dodgers adding a left-hander in Tanner Scott, who's arguably the best relief pitcher on the free agent market, or who was the best free agent pitcher on the market, it's going to be interesting to see how they work him into the fold with Evan Phillips not being able to start opening day. So I think those are all good, Kat. But I did have one weird move that I had to talk about, and it's my love-hate relationship with Taylor Rogers. I am so sad that Taylor Rogers went over to the Cincinnati Reds, mostly because I love the Reds. They have Hunter Green. They have they have Chase Burns, the new kid, Rhett Lauder. I really like those starting pitchers, especially those coming up from the farm. But introducing Taylor Rogers into the bullpen is going to be horrible. I think he had a 2.4 ERA last year, 64 strikes over 60 innings played, gave up 53 hits, and 53 of those were, 7 of those 53 were bombs. So just really looking at, is he a clutch performer? I'd have to argue not. Kat, would love to know what you think about any of that.
Yeah, all of those are exciting trades. I'm obviously looking at the Mets because their lineup against my Dodgers is going to be a tough one. But yes, a lot of great changes, a lot to look forward to. With that, I need to know what your bold season predictions are going to be.
Bowl season predictions. I think for National League, I have the Mets going. For the National League, American League, I am going to say it may be the Yankees again. Kat, what about you for NL AL winners?
Man, when I was writing my notes for this, I'm not going to lie, I have the Mets and Dodgers battling out for the National League, but I have to be true to my Dodgers. I feel like with their heavy roster, Ohtani, Yamamoto, Betts, Freeman, you name it, they are destined to win. They have more chances to win than to lose. And for the AL, I'm going to go with my underdogs, the Baltimore Orioles. I feel like going off of last season, they are building character in their team. They're all a lot of young guys who are hungry to make it to the World Series. So I'm going to go for them to win the American League this year.
Yeah, I like that. I'm going to throw out a little theory and just say that had Juan Soto played for the New York Mets last year, I don't think the Dodgers make it to the World Series. But we can find out if that's true this year with Juan Soto on the Mets. For the NL AL, out of those, who do you have winning the World Series?
Ooh, you know I had to go for the Dodgers. We're going to go two-peat after this past season and all these acquisitions. We're going back, baby.
Oh, let's see. I think for World Series winner, I'm going to give it to the Mets. You know, either way, it's going to be a National League team. Sorry, American League fans. We are big NL East and NL West fans on this podcast. Potential breakout star of the year. Who do you have as your potential breakout?
I'm putting it out there, but I am going to say that Kaden Dana from the Angels is going to be a starter this year. And I think that people are going to be shocked about him being a pitcher this year. He's my breakout player of the year. What about you?
Nice. I think potential breakout player of the year, not sure, but I would have to say CJ Abrams. I think with him adding 10 pounds of muscle mass this year, it's going to be nice seeing if he can just hit dingers after dinger after dinger after dinger. I'm just really looking forward to watching CJ grace the field again. And maybe even a gold glove for CJ. Home run derby winner. Who do you have? Home run derby winner.
I'm also putting it out there in the atmosphere. I think Lawrence Butler is going to play the home run derbies, and he's going to surprise you guys. What about you?
Oh, that's interesting. I have one of the Dominican heartthrobs winning. It's either going to be Vladdy G or old boy Soto. And then for all of our fantasy fans out there, what is your biggest fantasy bust of the year?
Oh, this is going to hurt my heart because I have had him in the last 2 years in my fantasy team. But I don't think Adonis Garcia is going to do great this season. He is just, I don't think he's going to be as consistent as he was. What about you?
I'm with that. I think for biggest flop, I would say Taylor Rogers, but that's not a flop or a bust, right? If that's your regular trajectory. But I think I'm going to go with Yamamoto as the biggest flop. I think he got injured early last year, and hopefully he can stay healthy, but I don't think he will be worth keeping as my first round pick in my redraft, in my keeper league. So, oh boy, I must say that. And then, you know, outside of just these bold predictions, who are your favorite pitcher? Who's your favorite pitcher, and who's your favorite hitter to watch this year?
Going off of Yamamoto, I feel like my favorite pitcher to watch this year is Mr. Sasaki. If you watch any coverage of the Dodgers spring training, it is no surprise that whole team went to go watch him. practice and start for the Dodgers for spring training. So I'm very excited to see what this Japanese superstar is going to do for the team. And my favorite hitter to watch this year, no surprise again that we named our son after him, is Juan Soto. Especially starting off the Mets spring training with this first at-bat home run. That's just going to be the trajectory of what he's going to be like this season. What about you?
Yeah, Citi Field is infamous for left-handed batters hitting those dingers. So, because you said favorite hitter is Soto, I'm going to say Jazz Chisholm. I think if he can stay healthy, I love watching Jazz. I love watching the energy he brings to the sport. He has a lot of haters when it comes to baseball, mostly those gatekeepers or old Vanguard fans where you can't have fun as a baseball player. So really looking forward to seeing Jazz do his thing. Hopefully we can have him on the podcast. And for favorite pitchers to watch, this was difficult because I really want to see Paul Skenes if he can replicate his rookie year. But this, I didn't want to say this on the podcast because he's available in our Dynasty League. But I really want to see Felix Bautista come back and pitch for the Orioles and see what he can do after he returns from a year of recovery from his prior injury. So really looking forward to Felix Bautista. But with that said, we are going to take a little break and hear a short message from our sponsors.
Dads don't just drive you to Little League. They teach you how to throw a perfect curve, grill the best post-game glizzies, and still make time to look good doing it. Whether you're coaching from the dugout, catching a game with your kid, or just repping dad life and style, Dact's got you covered. Because being a parent is hard work and legendary. We know moms are cool. Guess what, though? Dads are cool, too. Visit dadsarecool2.com using the promo code MR_HIP for 15% off today.
Thank you, Tim, from Dads Are Cool 2 for always supporting the fam.
We love you, Tim.
Now I gotta know, what are your thoughts on some new rule changes?
The rule changes that are going to affect this year, number one is the shift in shallow outfield, meaning that the batting team could accept the results of the play or have the hitter be awarded an automatic ball if they find that the infielder is not on the dirt portion of the field and they're in the grass. I kind of like the change, which means that the team that's batting can accept the result of the play. So if they hit a home run, fuck it, that's a home run. But if they strike out, then hey, it's gonna be granted a free base either way. So I like that teams get to choose. And that second rule is running through the base. Still a little bit confusing, but if a player abandons second base and there's a player on third that's running home, if that player scores before the second baseman is deemed out or has abandoned the base and is deemed out, it's up to the umpire to choose if he wants to say the run had scored or not. So it's going to be interesting to see how these rules are, as at least the second rule, is enforced this year. But I know you bought a rule that I had no idea was even capable in the game of baseball. So tell our listeners a little bit about what we were talking about earlier, Kat.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody hates on the umpires for getting those balls and strikes wrong. So during spring training, they're actually testing this ABS system, which uses like a Hawkeye technology to review the pitches in real time to see if the umpires are catching what they say is going to be most accurate. I think that's going to be such an interesting added element Just to, you know, kind of verify, you know, human error sometimes with these umpires. But yeah, they've already started testing it out in spring training. And, you know, there's some teams that, you know, have kind of benefited from it. And they're doing a little grace period where each team is granted 2 challenges per game during the spring training. So what do you think about technology in baseball?
I mean, we're going to have a whole entire episode about that. But the automated ball strike, I think that's what the ABS stands for. That whole system is going to be crazy because I know when I'm watching a baseball game and you got that parlay bet and the person strikes out or the pitch that is not a strike, you just want to throw something at the TV. So I'm happy that they'll be able to review. Sad for umpires, but happy for the players and a little bit sad for the pitchers. But with that being said, we've reached the end of the first episode. So, Kat, I am going to randomly ask you 60 rapid-fire questions. We'll do this every episode for our listeners. We'll see how far you can get with the questions that I ask. Are you ready, Kathleen?
I'm ready.
All righty. Rapid-fire questions start now. Favorite MLB team?
Dodgers.
Favorite all-time player?
LaRocco.
Favorite current player?
Kenley Jansen.
Favorite baseball movie?
Little Giants.
It's cool. Favorite ballpark food?
Hot dogs.
Favorite baseball memory?
Attending my first one.
DH or no DH?
DH.
Pitch clock, love it or hate it?
Love it.
Best home run celebration?
Oh, just, you know, the Gatorade at the end of the game.
Most overrated player?
That's a hard one. I'm going to go Clayton Kershaw.
Who's the GOAT? Babe Ruth, Mays, Bonds, or someone else?
Oh, for sure we're going Jackie Robinson.
And that is 60 seconds.
All right. Now I'm going to hit you with some questions.
Ready.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Born ready.
All right. Here we goes. Hot dogs or nachos?
Vegan glizzies.
Would you rather pitch a perfect game or hit the cycle?
Pitch a perfect game.
If you could bring back any retired player for one game, who would it be?
Ken Griffey Jr.
If you owned an MLB team, what would you name it?
I mean, my team on the show is called the Bumblebees, so I'm going to go with the Bumblebees. Save the bees, everybody.
One rule you change in baseball?
Getting rid of umpires.
If you could have dinner with any baseball player, past or present, who would it be?
Barry Bonds.
Favorite MLB player?
Current or old?
Current.
Favorite current player? Juan Soto.
Favorite all-time player?
Jason Giambi.
Favorite baseball movie?
Sandlot.
Favorite baseball memory?
Going to a game with you, and I have that recording when you're like, "Let's go, Dodgers!" That's a bit.
You did it.
Thank you all for tuning in to our first official podcast episode. It is your host, Mr. Hip.
And Kat.
And we look forward to bringing you the dopest baseball conversations possible this year. If you are a new fan, happy to have you with us. If you are a longtime fan of the sport, we'll be constantly reminding you on a bi-weekly time frame as to why baseball is America's pastime. Appreciate you all.
Have a great day.
Goodbye.